Hello, you are tuned into Research Review on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territory of the Musqueam people at UBC. My name is Alirad Amari, and I'm joined by my co-host today, Gurman Gill. Each week on Research Review, we interview a researcher who is affiliated with the UBC community and discuss some of their latest work and findings and how they relate to broader issues in society. I would like to introduce Dr. Quinn Doan today, clinical investigator and pediatric emergency physician at BC Children's Hospital and an associate professor at UBC. And Dr. Doan has also recently been appointed to the position of director clinical research at BCCHR. Hello, thanks for joining us. So, Gurman, would you like to start with a few questions?
Yeah. Can you start by maybe telling us a bit about yourself?
Yeah. So I am a pediatric emergency physician. I did my education back in Montreal, and I came out here a long time ago to do my pediatric residency, and I stayed. After my residency, I was a pediatrician in the community, and it was just by luck that I ended up doing a master's in research and loving it, and have never left it since, and just continue to do more research and training in research. And that's now 75% of my job.
Excellent, thank you. Now, you know, we've heard a lot about the My Hearts Map tool, and that's something we really wanted to discuss today. Can you tell us a little about that and what that kind of entails, basically?
Yeah. So My Hearts Map is actually the second generation of the instrument. We started with the Hearts Map tool, and that was born from necessity. As an emergency physician, we like to deal with acute, you know, severe stuff that we deal with and we can fix right away in the emergency department. And so we're not really trained to deal with chronic, long-term conditions. And the reality is that with mental health issues, there are also very few treatment or intervention that you can initiate in the emergency department that will affect fast enough for things to go to make things better quickly. And so as emergency clinicians, we're not really trained to deal with it well. And so I could see the resulting effect is that our patients were sticking around for a long time. We weren't doing a great job with it. And so I collaborated with a pediatric psychiatrist to improve the way we assess them and the way we guide their management and navigate the mental health system. So we created the Hearts Map essentially to help emergency nurses and doctors to do better assessment and to access the resources more appropriately for these families. After we evaluated and tested it, the question became, how about kids and parents using it themselves? So we evolved the tool from Hearts Map to My Hearts Map so that now kids and parents can use it and assess their kids' psychosocial status.
So if I understand correctly, so this is basically two tools right now. One that is basically used, the Hearts Map tool itself is used by clinicians in a healthcare setting, and the My Hearts Map tool is used at home by families, right?
Yeah, it can be used at home, or it can be used in other clinical setting as well, but where the kid will assess themselves as opposed to having to talk to, you know, sometimes strangers about their own, their mental health issues. And we find that kids or youth, like adolescent particularly, tend to respond to an app more so mm-hmm. than a stranger mm-hmm. adult to talk about their personal issues and their struggles. And so we get them to assess and identify areas of needs. And the tool has an algorithm that triggers recommendations for the appropriate types of services that matches the needs that the youth will express through the assessment.
That's excellent. And is there any difference between the clinical tool and the one that's used at home, or are they pretty similar?
They're similar in the scope and range of issues that it addresses. but the language that the tool use and interface the clinician is different. It asks different things so that we score things slightly differently. And the one that is used by youth and parents was also vetted by them. So in the development of the tool, we included children and parents to discuss the language and the scoring, how user-friendly it is. We also involved them in whether or not the recommendations made sense to them in terms of accessing those results. Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah, so this sort of tool will definitely be helpful during the COVID-19 pandemic, where lots of youth and even adults are struggling with mental health at the moment, and that's currently something you're studying. So maybe could you go a bit into how that's been helpful during the pandemic?
So what happened with the pandemic is most researchers had to pivot, is what we call it, because much of the research had to be adapted to the context. And initially, we were going to use the MyHearts map to screen in schools and in doctors' offices because, you know, psychosocial issues are not something that we tend to address in a medical interview or medical appointment generally or routinely. So we're going to introduce that for universal screening. And then the pandemic happened. So kids weren't going to doctors' office as routinely anymore. People were avoiding those places. And there was a higher priority. So we started putting this out online so kids and parents can use it to assess their kids' mental health and to also identify resources that they can use to help them through the stress of the pandemic.
Have you gotten a chance to look at any of the results so far?
That's very interesting. So we have recruited approximately 100, just a little over 100 families so far. And the first round of 3 months follow-up are just coming in right now. We have looked at about where participants are and what kind of issues are being identified, but we haven't done formal analyses yet.
Okay. Yeah, so just from your informal look, have you seen much of a difference between like the initial screening and the 3 months follow-up?
For the few 3 months follow-up that I have looked at, and again, this is really just a cursory look. Yeah. I have seen some worsening. So I have seen things that were identified in August or September that have progressed since then. So that is just a handful that we're looking at, but we'll have to wait until it all comes in and a larger sample size to really determine whether or not this is a real trend or that's just, you know, a few isolated cases.
Yeah, and I know the Hearts Map tool covers a pretty wide age range. It's usually designed from 10 to 17, but that's covers anyone from like elementary school to people that are just trying to get into college. So have you noticed any difference between those sorts of age groups?
Well, the most obvious difference we see often is when we ask about the alcohol substance use aspect of kids' mental health, as well as their sexual health. So the younger kids will usually have responses that are a little cheeky in the sense that they will say they'll score zero as no issue, but there will also be comments like, hey, they're only 7 or 8 and so on. So we're getting some of those responses. So there are some sections that are geared toward older children, for sure.
That's great. Thanks for sharing that, Dr. Doan. We'll be right back here on Research Review after listening to one advertisement. So please stay tuned.
Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop is Vancouver's choicest destination for one-of-a-kind artist-made prints, posters, screen prints, riso prints, paintings, acrylic paintings, watercolor paintings, ceramic mugs, ceramic plates, ceramic bowls, ceramic pots, lapel pins, hats, toques, crochet bathing suits, jewelry, trinkets, knickknacks, hand-painted signs, curated thrift, and a bunch more stuff that won't fit in this designated block of airtime. Slice of Life Art and Gift Shop, located at 1636 Venables, just off Commercial, open 11 to 6, 6 days a week.
Great, so we're back here on Research Review, CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Alirod, and along with my co-host Gurman, today we are interviewing Dr. Quinn Doan a bit about her work. So far today we've been talking about MyHeartsMap tool, a tool which has been created and designed to help diagnose mental health in youth. On the MyHeartsMap tool, Dr. Doan, now you mentioned, for example, there were some questions, you mentioned the alcohol and sexual health. Specifically, what type of questions are there as part of this tool? And the answers to these questions, for example, what type of insight would they be able to give?
Mm-hmm. So the questions we have in the tool are more like guiding questions for kids and parents to reflect on their situation. What they actually are answering is the severity or the scoring. So we have some descriptors. Zero means everything's okay, there's no issues. For mood. For sexual health, it would say something like, I'm either not sexually active or I'm in a stable relationship and we use protection and contraception on a regular basis, right? On the higher risk end would be something, and the description would say something like, I have multiple partners, I engage in sexual activities, sometimes under the influence of alcohol or drugs. And so that's a higher risk behavior.
So these answers basically for each question, does it work on a scale sort of like a 0 to 10 type of scale? And you're saying like anything like a 10 would be generally like higher risk, more concerning behavior, as opposed to something that's lower is generally basically lower risk, less concerning behavior, right?
Yeah. So the tool covers 10 different sections. And so for each section, you can score 0, as in everything is as healthy as it can be. And then it goes to 1 to 4, 3. And 3 is usually the more severe and potential dysfunctional situation. So for example, for the home section, 3 would be, I'm homeless. I don't have a safe place that I can call a home, or I feel supported and I can be sheltered. And based on the scoring of each section, as well as the cumulative score scores of sections that map to the same domain, it will trigger recommendation. So for example, with the psychiatric domain, that will include sections that are relevant to mood, thoughts, anxiety, and safety from a suicidal perspective, higher scores or individual sexual high scores will trigger recommendation for crisis response type services, while lower scores or lower cumulative scores will trigger more elective, maybe self-referred community-based resources.
So basically the score is designed to indicate what type of intervention, what type of referral is needed, right?
That's right. Excellent. What type of intervention and how urgently you need to access them.
Mm-hmm.
Because for the same problem, you can have a number of different services, some ranging from, you know, calling and self-referring to a clinic or going to the emergency department.
Yeah, I've noticed the HeartsMap tool has been implemented in a lot of health regions in British Columbia. And have you ever thought about expanding it to the rest of Canada or maybe other countries, or how has that been going?
Yeah, so the HeartsMap tool has been implemented in BC. Implemented as in it's been introduced and people can use it as they wish through their health authority network. But we've also put it on an open website that can be accessed globally. And we've also modified the recommendation and the resources so that they are a little bit more generic and can be translated into the same type of resources in other settings in other countries. So it is currently accessible. And last we looked, we were getting a few hits here and there on that website from all over the place. But we're not monitoring per se, we're just making it available.
And for example, have there been any instances where HeartsMap has been sort of like used as a basis or a sort of an inspiration for any similar tools being developed, either again in the same area or perhaps like in a different area?
Yeah, so there is, if you look, if you just Google it, there's a lot of different e-mental health type tool. The key thing is that many of these are for-profit industry based and are not necessarily evaluated scientifically. And so the beauty of HeartsMap is that we've done quite a bit of research on its reliability and its validity. And so we are still keeping an eye out for what comes out that may be similar. In the meantime, we're currently developing the next version, which is for young adults and post-secondary students. So it's called HeartsMap U, and I have a grad student that's actually going to start a study soon on campus at UBC to validate it and make sure that it is as sensitive and specific as the other tools when compared to a clinician evaluation.
Well, that's pretty interesting to hear about that. What are some, you would say, differences between the University HeartsMap U version compared to the existing one, which I understand covers the ages of 10 to 17, right?
That's right. So the My HeartsMap is for, you know, younger children, children who are still, you know, being supported and managed mostly their healthcare through their parents. And then the HeartsMap U is addressing the young adult population where they're transitioning out of the home and being more expected to take certain responsibility with regard to their housing, their finances. They have different sort of stresses in school with regards to, you know, their future livelihood. And so successes in school mean slightly different than when you're in high school now. There's also a little bit more freedom, and nobody's watching over your shoulder, but that also means that nobody's gonna take you to the doctor. You have to be able to identify when you need to get some help. And so HeartsMap U is meant to help students identify when they need to go get help.
Definitely.
By themselves, yeah.
Great. And you touched on some of the differences between the younger adult population and some of the younger kids in the My HeartsMap tool. Are the questions somewhat different? Did you maybe add additional questions for the HeartsMap U? Because I know topics that you mentioned, My HeartsMap, like sexual health and substance abuse, while those are only like little blimps on the radar for like My HeartsMap, it's probably like an extensive section, I would imagine, of like HeartsMap U.
Absolutely. So for each of the tool, we consulted the target population. And so for HeartsMap U, we engaged UBC students quite a bit. We went through, I think, 8 or so focus groups with each 5 to 10 students. And so the language, the way questions are being asked, and the scope is quite different. So in HeartsMap and My HeartsMap, the H stands for home, as in who lives at home, what kind of conflicts are there at home, how is your relationship with your parents and siblings and such. But for the HeartsMap U, the H is for housing and finances. And so it addresses different aspects, similar, but with different guiding questions. And the scoring descriptors are also more adapted to the post-secondary student life.
Great, thanks for elaborating on that, Dr. Doan. We will be back to your On Research Review after just one promotional message.
This week on the Arts Report, film, theater, dance, books, visual art, and more. Every Wednesday at 5 p.m., the Arts Reporters explore what's fun, fascinating, campy, or critical in the Vancouver art scene. You can find bonus content on our Mixcloud, Facebook, and Twitter. Got an idea for a review, interview, or original production? Email arts@citr.ca. Listen Wednesdays at 5 p.m. or anytime on citr.ca.
We are back here on Research Review. I am your host, Alirod, joined with my co-host, Gurman Gill. And today we are interviewing Dr. Quinn Doan, a researcher at UBC. And we're talking to Dr. Doan about a new tool called HeartsMap, which helps assess youth mental health. So just following on that topic, so you mentioned the original HeartsMap tool and now the HeartsMap U tool that is being recently developed. Have there been any thoughts about potentially expanding this to even like older populations in the future? Or for example, I would say people who are basically university age, but not necessarily in university, for example, expanding the HeartsMap U to that sort of population?
Yeah, so I think that if you're talking about the same age, but just not in university, I think that there's room to test it in that population after it's been validated in the HeartsMap, in the university population. I will tell you a fun story. So I'm a pediatrician, right? So my patient population really just goes to about 17, 18 years of age. But what happened was when Dr. Santa Ono came to visit the research institute and he visited a lab and looked at the HeartsMap U, he was really interested and keen. And he's the one who inspired us and motivated us to expand this to UBC. So he really wanted my HeartsMap to be something that can be used at UBC. And so with further UBC support, we went on to develop this program with HeartsMap U. But that's the main reason why I kind of ventured out of my usual population age group. In terms of older adults and outside of this age group, I'd be happy to collaborate with someone whose area of expertise in that, but I'm starting to come out of my comfort zone now.
That's definitely nice to hear about the university part, how Santa Ono approached you about that, because I know Gurman can attest to this, but mental health, like among the university population, that's an issue that definitely comes up a lot at UBC. And as you mentioned a bit back, I know right now there are some tools that are available for self-screening. I think they're available through student interns, but just as you mentioned, you know, they are commercial tools by third parties. So definitely different than the HeartsMap tool, which I think is definitely more scientific backing, and it is sort of like a open source thing, right?
It is. And so the idea is, after we've validated it and made it available at UBC, is to work with UBC and other universities to make it available to other post-secondary institutions across, you know, the world.
That's great.
Yeah, so how would that work for like the average student? Would I be able to just like log into my like UBC account and then ideally just like click a button and then just start taking the HeartsMap U tool?
Yeah, how we implement it is something we'll discuss after we've validated and tested it. It will be working with the university as to how they want to make it available to students, and also how they encourage students to use it. We're thinking about, you know, putting out messaging at key time where things are a little bit more dire, like around exams, around, you know, start of school and periods like that, where it would be good for students to just screen, just, you know, check in. And they can do that themselves without having to go make an appointment or to go anywhere, and only follow through with, you know, recommendations after the screening as to where to go and who to contact to get the help.
Great. Yeah, that sounds like something that could definitely be really helpful. I know people are struggling during exam season right now. I already talked to lots of people who are dealing with that exam stress.
Yeah.
Do you maybe have like specific questions in like the HeartsMap U tool that deals with like exam stress in particular, or like more like seasonal problems like those like exam periods?
There is one section that it pertains to education. So it talks about how you're dealing with your schooling, and not just your performance, but also your motivation and how you feel about your courses and your ability to cope.
Now, HeartsMap in general, would you say, is this more looking at sort of acute stresses, which, you know, perhaps in the case of university students, they could occur seasonally due to exams or perhaps like changes in weather? Or is this looking more at chronic, long-term stress going on in someone's life?
It's actually looking at the whole picture and asking the user to identify what is now and what is past. So some of the section, so for example, one of the section looks at abuse and protective issues. So depending on the section, like it will ask you whether or not the issue is current or it's past and dealt with. So in the abuse section, it will ask whether or not you've experienced any trauma or abusive situation. And it will, and zero will be no, but then two will be past and managed, or one is past and managed, two is past but not yet managed, and three is it's current and you need help.
That's interesting to hear, and I really appreciate, I would say, the scale you mentioned, like 0 to 3, because, you know, initially, like, I was talking, you know, I thought I was like on a 0 to 10 scale, and I see that a lot in different sorts of surveys where they give you a 10-point scale, and it's often really hard, at least for me as like someone who's answering to that, to really quantify on a 10-point scale what the difference really is. Because, you know, for example, I'm looking at a scale like that, I'm like, what is the difference between a 7 and an 8 really? But with something that's on a 0 to 3, I feel like it's really easy and less intimidating for people to answer, and for that answer to be really reflective.
I hope so.
And just one question as well, is that this tool you were mentioning on the website, is this basically publicly accessible to everyone, or do you need some sort of referral from a physician to access it?
So currently, the openheartsmap.ca website is made available for clinicians and scientists, so for academic reasons, right? So you can use it in your clinic, you can give it to your patients in your office to use it, and I access it for research purposes. So I've created a portal for my participant in the pandemic study to access it and use it. And in the future, what we're working on right now is with TREC Canada, so that's a translation, knowledge translation network, to make it available so that families can actually use it. So right now it's mostly for scientific purposes, and you can access it, you just have to register, and there are warnings and notes that this is for academic purposes, etc. But we are in the making plans right now to make it publicly available for kids and family to access it.
Definitely, that makes sense. And just one last question. I know this tool, you started development in 2015, right?
Yeah.
So it's been about 5 years now. And I would say, you know, since this is, you know, ongoing, there's a lot of research going on, there's a lot of clinical work going on. How would you say in the past 5 years since this started in 2015, how's the tool evolved and what have you been able to learn that's really helped it grow?
Yeah, well, so the first sign of evolution is that we're down to third generation now, right? We're down to HeartsMap U. So it's been changing that way. So we've changed the target population for users of the tool. But with the original HeartsMap, where we've been accumulating more evidence, at first we were just looking at the tool performance in terms of sensitivity and specificity, how well does it perform against a clinician. But most recently, we also have an article that has been accepted for publication that shows that it also improves operations and flow in the emergency.
It's great to hear.
Yeah, that's incredible. I can see how it can definitely be used to improve patient outcomes and also reduce costs in hospitals. It's an all-around great tool.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for telling us about it, and thank you so much for having taking the time to go on our show. We appreciate having you on here.
You're welcome, and I really appreciate the opportunity to share with you as well.
Yeah, no problem. So thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
This concludes Research Review on CITR 101.9 FM with Alirad and Gurman.